There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Joining us now, as he does each and every week on Thursdays, is our pal Dan Pizzuta from the 33rd team. He's a writer there. And one of the things he wrote this week was his weekly quarterback rankings. Dan, I might have some bones to pick with you later about your quarterback rankings. So we can warm up with some Commanders, but then we can spar a little bit about some quarterback rankings if you're down for that.
And sure, you would not be the only one.
Rankings are so much fun, aren't they? Everyone always agrees.
They are great, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm very happy I agreed to do these this year.
Yeah, I mean, look, all I'm going to say is Kyler Murray's ranking after I just watched what happened to him in Arizona. There might be something to talk about. So let's actually talk about it through the people that did that to him. The Commanders' defense played by far their best game of the season. They are not satisfied with where they are yet, but they clearly are making improvements. What did you see on that side of the ball from Washington that perhaps gives you hope that that side can support Jaden Daniels, who I know you also wrote about this week, and what this offense is doing?
Yeah, I think it was a well-timed game of coming against an offense that I think this pass rush kind of really was able to click a little bit and make the impact you were kind of hoping it might have been able to make. They blitzed a little more than they did the previous, I think, 2 weeks. And it just kind of it got through when some of the coverage was able to hold up. They had some well-timed blitzes that came with, you know, either you had a guy who was I think one of the sacks was, you know, Bobby Wagner was, you know, spying Kyler a little bit. Then he ends up, you know, rushing late when he doesn't have anyone to really take account of. So I think there were things that kind of were put into the game plan that works really well. And the defensive line was able to hold up. I think the interior defensive line that you were really hoping would be the piece that took over for this Washington defense eventually, I think they all had a good game there. So I think it was they just kind of controlled the line of scrimmage. And then I think when you kind of look at what Arizona was doing in the passing game, it's still a little siloed, and there's not a lot of, you know, creativity in a lot of these routes. You know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is just kind of running vertical down the sidelines, and, you know, that's easier to defend than some of the other you know, offenses that Washington has been facing. So I think a lot of it just kind of played into Washington's hand, and I think they had a good game plan to defend it.
You know, one of the things that we talked about earlier in the week and kind of when we were still doing a lot more game review was that the performance was definitely better. And guys like John Allen, like you said, showed up, and Daron Payne showed up in ways that they haven't this year. But it actually wasn't that much different than maybe against Cincinnati. The difference is that Ja'Marr Chase is way better than Marvin Harrison at this point in their careers, and Joe Burrow's way better than Kyler Murray, and especially in specific ways that really hurt Washington, getting the ball out quickly, you know, being able to see through blitzes and stuff that really hurt Kyler. How much of any, like, when you try to determine, you know, hey, defense, this was the impact, offense, you know, hey, a better quarterback, a different quarterback, even if they're similar levels but different skill set, where they're stronger or weaker in a certain area, you know, how much of the performance is based off of the opponent? Like, so if you take all of kind of that theory, how much of last week for you was Washington improvement versus Arizona not being nearly the level of, say, Cincinnati the week before?
I would say, you know, it was probably a little bit of both. I think it's definitely good that Washington at least, you know, looked like they were more together, you know, in a sense. And I think we've been kind of seen when things go wrong for this Washington defense, it's, you know, a blown coverage in the secondary. Something is, you know, miscommunicated along the way. There wasn't as much of that, which is good. And I think they kind of, you know, stay true to some of the easier concepts. I think looking, they dropped how much they played quarters like in this game. So they weren't trying to do as much as like the, you know, the more complicated matching type of coverages. So it was somewhat of that. I think Arizona did certainly, like, you know, in the route concepts they were doing, certainly that helped too. And I think the offensive line, Arizona really just wasn't playing particularly well on Sunday either. So I think it was a lot of, you know, this was definitely a better Dame from Washington's defense, just kind of overall from, I think, game plan and execution. And it definitely helped that I think Arizona had a bit of an off day and it not kind of what we had seen previous 3 weeks of what, they were kind of able to do from some explosive plays and some of the ways they've been able to hold up on offense too.
Dan Pizzuta, 33rd team, with us here on the Hoffman Show. Of course, they were also chasing the game, I mean, immediately in the second half, if not some in the first half as well, because of what this Washington offense is doing. You wrote about it in your weekend reaction column, which is called First and Ten. And Dan, we here are big fans of segments called First and Ten, as we do First and Ten to open the show on Monday. So salute on the originality on that one for both of us. But you wrote about Daniels and this offense. What is it like? Let me ask you this, because we talk to you every week and like we know some of the things that are working. What did you see that was new, that was even more impressive against Arizona compared to the first 3 weeks, which included many good things as well?
Yeah, I think just kind of little by little right now, we're seeing things start to just open up in the offense. And, we started talking week one. It was like, oh, this is just a condensed Cliff Kingsbury offense. It's going to be all screens and slants and things behind the line of scrimmage, and we kind of raised a little bit of concern. But week by week, it's continued to open up a little bit. In the first and ten column, I have a kind of a passing heat map of week by week, and you can just see how the ball is getting pushed progressively further down the field, which I think is really good. And I think also what they're doing is, they've been able to use play action a little bit more. That's kind of opened up that intermediate area of the field that they weren't throwing to over the first, first 2 weeks, really. And I think teams have started to kind of be a little afraid of what Jaden Daniels can do in the run game. So they stopped blitzing him quite as much. And I think his blitz rate has dropped kind of every week. It was about the same weeks 2 and 3. Week one, they came out blitzing 42% of the time. He was blitzed 16.7% of the time last week. So I think just how teams are defending right now are giving him more space in the pocket also. So not being blitzed, having that play action is allowing him to stand in the pocket a little more. There's now more time to be opening up things down the field. And I think everything's just kind of coming together of just being able to add that element to the passing game, which is what we see early in the year. And now it's just kind of, it's coming week by week.
Yeah, no, the heat map stuff is great. I definitely would suggest everyone. It's outside of, hey, you can see it opening up week after week. It's hard to explain without seeing it. So I would definitely suggest everyone go to the 33rdteam.com and find Dan's first and 10 column from earlier in the week and check this out. You also have this amazing stat, just the greatest coinky dink here. There have been three games by rookie quarterbacks with at least 0.6 EPA per play and a 60% success rate since 2000. Daniels has had two of them in the past 2 weeks, and the other came from Marcus Mariota in week one of 2015, but with only 15 pass attempts. I mean, you want to talk about bringing in the right mentor for your guy, Dan. Mariota was clearly the model. Now look at Jaden go, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of the crazy things to look at, because I think the cool thing about what Washington is doing right now is they have been able to figure out how to stay away from the negative plays. And I think that certainly helped. I'm not sure how much, at what level that's going to be able to sustain. I don't think they're going to get through, one turnover for the rest of the season. But the way they've just kind of been able to have a correct answer for pretty much everything. And very early on, that was, Jaden Daniels scrambling when he could. But now it's, taking some smarter plays. I think they're more diverse in the run game also. So when you just kind of have all of those options together, it's been made for a, crazy successful offense right now. And it's really humming.
Dan Pizzuta, 33rd team, with us here on the Hoffman Show. That blitz number is pretty staggering, too. Tampa blitz 42% in week one. Weeks two and three, around 29%, just 16% by Arizona. But we know Jim Schwartz is coming to town, and he is a very, very aggressive defensive coordinator for the Browns. Do you think he pulls back on that some, or is he just going to be like, I am Jim Schwartz, I am here to blitz, let's party?
Yeah, Jim Schwartz is a guy who's going to do what he does on defense. So I would expect a little bit more blitzing there, but this is also a team that can create some pressure with the front four. They're going to be a very aggressive type of defense. They do like to blitz. They do like to play a lot of man coverage. I'm very interested in what that is going to look like because they haven't been quite as good in coverage. This hasn't been as good of a defense just kind of overall as it was last year when it was arguably, you know, the best in the league, or, you know, 1-2 with Baltimore. So they haven't been quite as good, but they've still been able to, you know, create some havoc when, you know, they've done what they've been doing, just kind of, you know, being aggressive, creating pressure. But it's when you have a quarterback like Jaden Daniels, it's very hard to play man coverage at a high volume against that, because you kind of always, those defensive backs are going to have their backs to the quarterback. And when you have a guy who can run, like we've kind of seen that, like you can't do that against Baltimore. You can't play man coverage. And even against like a Buffalo, you really can't play man coverage because the quarterback is going to be able to, you know, take off and run wherever there's a little bit of a hole. So I'm very interested to see how these kind of two philosophies are going to mesh, because I think Jim Schwartz is very much going to do what he wants to do because he only really knows one speed. But I think Washington could have some ways to get around that.
For sure. Trevor Lawrence, I know, had like a 40-yard run earlier this year. And it's like, if that's Jaden, he probably scores on that thing. So those opportunities are definitely going to exist. Obviously, one of the reasons why Cleveland's not as good defensively is because they're on the field forever, because their offense is real bad. When you look at the biggest problems for Cleveland offensively, what are they?
Nothing works together. And I think that's kind of been a problem since, you know, they brought in the quarterback that they brought in. It hasn't completely meshed with the, you know, Kevin Stefanski version of that offense. And they, you know, they brought in Ken Dorsey this year to kind of be the offensive coordinator, bring in some of the, you know, the Buffalo Josh Allen things to run a bunch of empty, which Deshaun Watson was more comfortable with. Those things just haven't meshed together. And I think every problem that Cleveland currently has in its offense is just kind of compounding on itself. This offensive line is injured. It is not good, and also is protecting for a quarterback who likes to hold on to the ball but cannot create when he does that like he used to be able to. So those are things compounding against each other. Right now, Watson is getting hit on 26.8% of his dropbacks. That's the second highest rate in the league behind Jacoby Brissett, who's only playing quarterback because that offensive line is bad and they want to protect Drake May. So Deshaun Watson right now, I think there's two games so far this year where he's been hit at least 14 times in a game. And those are, you know, official quarterback hits. So there's probably more times he's been hit. So when you just have that passing game right now that just doesn't have any consistency or anything they can really lean on, nothing works. And then you have some of the receivers who are making mistakes when things could potentially go well. You have an interception last week that hits Amari Cooper like in the chest. And those have just been some ups and downs. And this team just, without a good running game, they just don't really have anything to rely on right now. And everything they could potentially be doing just kind of feels like it's making everything else worse.
If they were to get a guy like David Njoku back, is that enough to change things? Or is there just, like, do they need a full philosophical flip of running the football and getting back to who they were a couple years ago if they want any chance, no matter who the personnel is right now?
Yeah, I mean, the more good players is going to help in some case, but I think right now, just this entire system is, I think the system in a way is broken because they're trying to fit so many different pieces of different systems together, trying to make everyone happy. And I think that's just kind of impossible in the way they're set up right now. And the current skill set that the quarterback has, he's not comfortable with the under center play action. He hasn't been able to execute that in the couple of years that he's been there. And the part that he's supposed to be good at, that empty, the distributing the ball, the creating out of structure, that has completely gone. So right now, I just don't know what they're supposed to be good at. And, you know, if you get Nick Chubb back, he's still coming off this significant injury. So I don't know how much you're going to be relying on that if you can, you know, later in the season. So it's a really tough thing to see how Cleveland really correct itself on offense, because I just don't see an easy answer.
Yeah, I would feel bad for them if they didn't do this to themselves with just abhorrent decision making. But, you know, sucks to be you sometimes, Cleveland. In fact, most of your NFL history. Yikes. All right. to the quarterback rankings. Dan Pizzuta, 33rd team. So Dan, before I ask you specifics, how do you try to go about ranking all 32 quarterbacks in the NFL? Because you definitely do like move some guys up and down in reading this column. Like there are some guys that'll swing 4 or 5 spots in a week, up or down, depending on how things are going. But I also know that you don't necessarily want to, you know, overreact to 1 week. So like Jaden has rocketed up the rankings, but only to so high because he's still a rookie and you probably start him near the bottom because of that. So what's your methodology as you try to do this to both like be accurate, not get yelled at on the internet, but also not, you know, be able to speak what you actually think about these guys?
Right. So
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
I have not figured out how to do this without getting yelled at on the internet.
The answer is you can't. So you should probably just give up that part of the equation.
Right. Yeah. So that is not part of the qualifications at all. So what I'm really trying to look at is kind of what the skill sets of these quarterbacks are. And really, that's what I'm ranking. So, you know, the Monday through Tuesday is spent watching all of these guys. I have a bit of a rubric that I'm kind of grading with. And, you know, it's things like, you know, a pocket presence, arm, like accuracy, just kind of how these guys are playing in, you know, kind of a vacuum. And I try to do that as much as I can to really like show what these quarterbacks are doing themselves. And that's going to, you know, be an impossible, you know, kind of thing, but I'm trying to, you know, do my best in what I'm doing. So really what I'm trying to rank is the skill set of how these quarterbacks are playing. And I do have a bit of a grading system that I am basing these rankings on. A small enough grading system that, you know, a good week can potentially, you know, move some guys up. I don't want to be so stuck in a way, where, you know, Patrick Mahomes is a, you know, 105 on this, you know, ranking and the next guy is like an 80 something. Like the grading system is closer. So there is some more movement there, but I'm also, you know, trying to look at what these guys have done. Like, you know, Jared Goff is a good example. He had the 18 for 18 performance. But I didn't learn a lot about Jared Goff in that game. I know when he's protected and he has some open throws, like he's going to make those throws. So I'm trying not to do that. I'm trying not to have a rankings that, you know, had Derek Carr as number one after 2 weeks. Like, I don't think that serves anyone to be kind of looking at quarterback performance and say that Derek Carr was the best quarterback, because he wasn't. What he was doing was still kind of like an average quarterback in a great system, and I think we've kind of seen the past 2 weeks where the system hasn't been as well, the situation hasn't been quite as good, and we've kind of seen him be, you know, Derek Carr again. So I'm trying to, you know, have that equilibrium of how well these guys are playing and what these guys are actually doing themselves.
So if we take, I'm going to take Jaden out of it, because that's, I'm not trying to get you yelled at by the Commanders fan base on the internet. And obviously if you say anything other than Jaden is God right now, then you're at risk of that. So Jaden Daniels, even though he's ranked 16 in Dan's rankings, he's actually secretly number one. Just don't tell anybody else.
Right.
How does your ranking system have, say, Kyler Murray over Brock Purdy? As Purdy has done, you know, an incredible job at his job. Kyler's been a little bit more up and down as his, but we all can acknowledge the difficulty of said jobs are different. So what are the areas of the scoring rubric that have landed Kyler at, I think it's 9, and Brock Purdy at 13?
Yeah, I mean, they're actually like somewhat similar in, you know, where I am, you know, grading. But I think when you kind of look at Kyler with his, you know, the arm and some of the, you know, out of structure things he's been able to do. And again, like I am also have like a bit of a baseline of what these guys have been in their career also is kind of where they started. And I've been building off that. So Brock Purdy is interesting because I think he's probably, I've been more impressed with Brock Purdy this year than I have when he was, you know, somewhat MVP candidate last year. I think he's definitely doing more this year, and I have moved him up, I think probably higher than I would have expected from where he was when we started these rankings. But he's throwing the ball down the field more. He's doing it without, you know, a great production from, you know, Brandon Ayuk. There's been no Debo for a little bit. There was no Kittle for a game. There's been no Christian McCaffrey at all. So I think, like, he still does get the benefit of having some of these open throws in a Shanahan system that I think, you know, a guy like Kyler does have to create a little bit more on his own to do. And I think, you know, in my grading a little bit, I'm going to lean more toward the guy who's able to create a little bit more on his own. I think, you know, Purdy's been bailed out a little bit sometimes by, you know, he's throwing a lot of these contested catches, which look like incredible throws, but it's also like the receiver is doing some help there. So it's a balance. But like those two quarterbacks specifically, it's a lot of these gradings for some of these guys are very tight. And like, I wouldn't, if you want to say, you know, Brock Purdy is slightly better than Kyler, like, I wouldn't disagree. But just kind of where it comes out, and because I have to have a number on these guys, is kind of where, you know, where I'm at this point.
Yeah. This is exactly why we do, when we do our NFL, power rankings every week, we do it by tiers because the separating within the tiers is impossible. So they live in the same neighborhood. A guy that used to live in a nicer neighborhood that has slipped down to 18th in your rankings and is perhaps one of the biggest mysteries in the NFL right now. This will be the last thing I want to ask you about is, like, the short version of the question, Dan, is what the hell has happened to Trevor Lawrence? The long version question or of the question, Dan, is what the hell has happened with Trevor Lawrence? What has gone so wrong for him this year?
Yeah, so I actually just wrote about this for today. So it's one of these things where the offense and the quarterback, I think, are just not completely meshing. And it's one of these areas where I think you can kind of see where Trevor is still a very good quarterback. He still has some of this arm strength, and he's making some great throws. In the beginning of the season, he was throwing deep, and that's kind of one of these things that we wanted to see, you know, from him and this offense, be able to push the ball a little more. We kind of hoped with, you know, a Brian Thomas Jr. and a Gabe Davis, they would do that, and then they have been. I think what has been the problem so far this year is there's not a lot of easy answers in the offense. And while we wanted them to push the ball down the field more, it's almost been exclusively that. And that is just lowering the margin of error so much for what this offense has to be. And Trevor kind of has to be perfect on almost every throw for this offense to really be working, because there's not a lot of those, you know, easy, short, you know, middle of the field type of throws overall in this offense. And so right now, like, Trevor just has to be pinpoint accurate on all of these throws that he's pushing down the field. And he hasn't really been able to do that. There's also been a lot more pressure on him with this offensive line not playing quite as well. And I think you can kind of see that in how he's anticipating the pressure. That's been, I think, throwing off his footwork, so throwing off his accuracy a little bit. So there's just a lot of different things compounding. And when you, you know, hear Doug Peterson, as he was talking about, you know, there's some execution that as a coaches, we can't be making the plays for them. And that is true to a sense, where there are some missed opportunities here, but there aren't a lot of opportunities in the offense that are just kind of, you know, letting Trevor kind of, you know, take a play off for a better sense and just kind of finding a quick, easy option. So everything is just so difficult. It's, you know, go routes down the sideline. They don't really have a lot of hot answers against blitzes. Those are all go routes too. So it's just the degree of difficulty in this offense is so high. And part of why they're doing that is because Trevor is a talented quarterback who can, you know, potentially pull that off. But when you have to do that down after down after down, it's just, it's really hard to be pulling off consistently. And I think that the weight of that has really kind of gone on Trevor too. And, you know, he's starting to bail from some cleaner pockets, and it's really affecting how he's playing. So it's just, none of this is really meshing together. And it's really kind of been tough going for, you know, how they think they're going to be able to, you know, move forward.
Yeah, that's super interesting. And, you know, I can't help but draw the comparisons to what we saw with Bienemy here last year with Peterson, former Andy Reid assistants that leave the Andy Coop and take the most complicated stuff that works when Pat Mahomes is your quarterback and seem to forget all the other stuff that you need when Pat Mahomes is not your quarterback. If you were to put Trevor Lawrence in any offense in the league, like, what offense would he be best in?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you put him in like one of these, you know, Shanahan, McVay, type of systems. Like if you put him in Minnesota right now, where he has a good play action game, he's got two good receivers to throw to that he can still push the ball down the field, kind of like Sam Darnold's doing. You know, that I think he kind of, I don't want to say he would be like the Matt Stafford going to a Sean McVay and kind of opening up that kind of offense in the way Stafford did, but I think it would be, you know, close to that rather than, you know, even, you know, a Darnold or some of these other guys that we've seen kind of been able to go in and have production. So I think when you have some of that, the play action heavy type of system where you still have the vertical shots that he can hit, but you also have a lot of the, you know, open in breaking routes. There's just, those things just aren't in the Jacksonville offense right now. This is a team that doesn't use motion really like at all. They're second lowest in like motion at the snap. So as we see so many offenses right now be able to, you know, just create openings off of that motion at the snap because you just have someone moving at the time. It's just that this Jacksonville offense just kind of like looks like it was still like the 2017 Eagles offense. And, you know, 2017 might as well be like 30 years ago in how much offenses have kind of evolved in that time. So it just in a more modern offense that has a little more openings, more play action, more motion, just all of that stuff, I think Trevor could still really thrive in that. And I think just kind of the question is like, how mentally beat down is he to be built back up if he does get to be in one of those offenses next year?
Good stuff. Dan Pizzuti, you can read more about Lawrence at the 33rd team as he's working on and finishing up that piece. And then, of course, first and 10, you can check out the heat maps and stuff that we talked about with Jaden Daniels earlier as well. Dan, great stuff as always, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right. Yeah, thanks. Appreciate it.
That is Dan Pizzuti, everybody, with us here on The Hoffman Show.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.